Amen, 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 and amen once again. Amen. It is truly a privilege to be standing before you once again. Mm-hmm. I don't take this lightly, and I thank God for each and every opportunity. Amen. Amen. How many people are just so glad to be here this morning and ready to praise the mighty name of Jesus? Amen. Ready to give God all the glory that he is so very, very much due. Amen. Because of how he has brought us to this place and protected us and loved us even up until this hour. I say amen, 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 and amen again. Now, I'm going to need y'all to do something for me very quickly. Everybody that has a Bible, I want you to just raise it up and put it in there. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, the reason why I had y'all to do that is because, and you'll see, as you see the title that I'm of this lesson that I'm going to bring before you, that this is the book we're going to be talking about, so that there's no mistake. Amen. Amen. Okay, because the title of my lesson this morning is, it's in the book, you better stop and take a look. Amen. Amen. All right. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. And the Bible reads as thus. Seek ye out of the book and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and in spirit it has gathered them. Seek ye out of the book and read. John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. And these are the words of Christ himself. Okay? But we got to go ahead and read that.
You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me.
My version says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. Jesus is telling us to search the scriptures. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about those scriptures that he's telling us to search. Okay? Because see, there's a book, the Bible, that reveals the mind of God, the happiness of believers, the state and doom of sinners, and the way of salvation. There is a book whose doctrines are holy, its precepts binding, its history is true, and its decisions unchangeable. This book is unlike any other. You ought to stop and take a look. See, there's a book you ought to read to be wise, believe to be safe, and practice to be holy. There is a book that contains spiritual food to support you, light to direct you, and comfort to cheer you. There is a book that is the spiritual traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the heavenward pilot's compass, the Christian soldier's shield, the godly prisoner's bond, and the king's herald's good news. This is a book you ought to stop and take a look. All right. Now, there's a book that is supernatural in origin, divine in authorship, I should say, infallible in authority, universal in scope, eternal in duration, personal in application, and God-breathed in totality. There is a book, the only book, that tells man the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. The truth about the Savior of the world, and how he can be found. See, there's a book that's indestructible, though man has tried over the years. Listen to God's inspired man, Peter, as he talks about this book. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. And the Bible reads as thus, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower, therefore, fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Listen to the master as he talks about this grand old book. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. See, there's a book. There's a book that you ought to stop and take a look at. See, we don't need creed books. We don't need church manuals, catechisms, but we need this book. We don't need mama-ology, papa-ology, grandma-ology, your-ology, my-ology, or even so-called religious leaders. Ology, but we need this book. Man. We don't need horoscope books, astrological sign books, comic books, or even bestseller books. But we need this book. Since this book contains everything we need and more, 2 Peter 1, chapter 2 and 3. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Oh, but it's not all. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. You probably guys don't know this by heart anyway. I'm just preaching to the choir. I understand. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Now, since this book contains all of this, you better stop and take a look. Can I get a witness up in here?
Amen.
Amen. It's in the book, praise the mighty name of Jesus, and we all better stop.
That's right.
And take a look. Amen. See, there's a God up in heaven. Psalms chapter 115, verse 3. Psalms chapter 115 and verse 3. It simply says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. See, it's in the book. That's in the book. This is also in the book, Psalms 14, verse 1. Psalms 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. See, only a fool would undertake to explain all the things we experience in this world with just our five physical senses. All the things that we experience around us without perceiving that there must be a great intelligent cause for it all. Y'all don't hear me.
Amen.
My shoes tell me there's got to be a shoemaker.
That's right.
Okay? My watch tells me there's got to be a watchmaker. Okay? My ring tells me there's got to be a ringmaker somewhere.
Yes.
Okay? There's a book that declares Psalms 19, 1 through 3, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech. Get this. There's no speech, no language where their voice is not heard. See, every sunrise talks about God. Amen. Every sunset declares his glory.
All right.
The glowing moon the blooming fields, the majestic mountains, the sunshine and rain all say, no, shout to all mankind, there is a God. He is alive. In him we live and we survive. It says, believe in this God. Trust in this God. Amen? Now, if the universe shows intricate, complex, calculated design, and it does, then there is, as of necessity, must be a great desire. If the universe exhibits thought, there must be a great thinker. If the universe is run by consistent and measurable principles and laws of physics and science, there must be a great lawgiver. Okay? If the universe operates with mathematical precision, it must be a great mathematician. Amen. Now, did you know that the sun is the exact mathematical amount of distance from the earth in order for life to be possible? The exact distance from the sun to earth allows us to receive the perfect amount of heat and light to allow life to be created and supported. Any closer, and we would burn up. Any further away, and we would freak. And I'm talking about inches. Okay? Now, this sounds like somebody calculated something right to me.
All right.
Because no other planet in the known universe is proven to be able to sustain life except this one here on Earth. Coincidence? I think not. I mean, sometimes I just feel like David. When he said in Psalms 84, 10 through 11, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good things will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. So you see there's but one way to heaven. Just one way. And it's in the book. It's in the book. And you better stop and take a look. Listen again to the master in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Again, I say, one way. Jesus says, for once and for all times, I am the way, not ways. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Okay, here again in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Enter ye into strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, since there is only one way to heaven, any other way tried will be tried in vain. See, that's in the book. It's in the book. And you better stop. Take a look.
All right.
Just as there's but one Lord, not just any faith will do. For there is but one faith. See, not just any baptism will do either. For there is but one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5.
Man.
Oh yeah, that's in the book. And you better stop and take a look. Now God's way is a simple way. Simple way. A way in which one does not need a PhD to understand. Amen?
Yeah.
You don't need to be rich or famous or even popular to understand his way. This is not the way of any man-made church or religious institution. This is the way that is in the book. The way that is in the book.
Amen.
There's one church that Jesus built and purchased with his own blood. Matthew 16 and 18. Acts 20 and 28. And it's in the book. It's in the book. And you most assuredly better stop and take a look.
All right.
The church the body of Christ, Ephesians 1, 21 and 23. Now, pay close attention to this. If we can find out how many bodies that Christ has, we can know for certain how many churches Christ has. Okay? Does Christ really have many churches under his authority, salvation, and protection? Does every church out there really qualify as his? Well, the book says in Ephesians 4 and 4, there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. See, there is indeed but one body. So, consequently, there can only ever be but one church.
Man.
The Church of Christ. The only church you can read about in your Bible. See, every man-made church will be destroyed someday. None of them, and I say again, none of them will ever make it into heaven. Well, how do I know that? Well, Matthew 15, 13, and 14 is in the book. It's in the book. Matthew 15, 13 through 14. And it says this. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. See, if it's not a church that Christ has planted, God's going to root it up. Okay? Revelations 20, 11 through 15. Revelations chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. See, this is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I tell you now, and I tell you for sure, church, it's in the book. It's in the book. And we would all do well to stop and take a look. Now, this one church of which I speak, they take communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every Sunday, every first day of the week, every Lord's Day. As we can see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. See, this one church sings praises to God without mechanical instruments of music. Hebrews 2 and 12, Ephesians 5, 19. See, it's in the book. It's in the book. We all better stop and take a look. It seems God is not so overmuch concerned or cast down about how we feel about his word, or even so much as what we think one way or another. See, God don't want lip. God wants script. John 12, 48 through 50. John chapter 12, verse 48 through 50. And this is Jesus speaking. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, get this, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. See, and I even love this. I love God's eternal answer to topics like racism, because he spoke on them once and for all time. Now, you want to know how God feels about racism and its inherent evils? Glad you asked. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Every racist that has ever lived need to read this verse. And the Bible reads, and he has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. One blood, all nations. That's God's answer to racism. And yes, that's in the book. That's in the book. It's in the very same book in which you ought to stop and take a look. See, you ought to become a member of that one church of Christ established, which can only be found in the Bible. Because Judgment Day is coming. And Christ himself is coming back to personally usher it in. See, I can hear Jesus say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself." Receive you unto... Wow, what a blessing. Amen. For where I am, there you may be also. John 14:1-2. See, Jesus said he's coming back, but that nobody knows except the Father just when. So we all better get our houses in order. Amen. We all better get our acts together. Because to be ready for Jesus when he comes back, you've got to be born again. Amen. John 3:3-7. John 3:3-7. If indeed you are found faithful until the end, when Christ comes back the second time, to heaven you will go. See, he's coming back. He's coming back like a thief in the night. So unexpected will be his coming. So you and I better get our act together, because we don't know when that will be. Could be today.
Man.
Amen. Mm-hmm. For you know, we just don't know. Matthew 24:42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Matthew 24:50-51. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that's definitely in the book. Now, if I were you, if I were you, and I wasn't already a Bible baptized, scripturally sound, born again Christian, I would not let any day, not another hour, or even another minute go by without securing my soul's salvation in Jesus. Now, to do so, gotta look in the book. Gotta look in the book. Because the book teaches you that you must hear the gospel, Romans 10:17, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You also have to believe that gospel. Believe that which you have heard and learned from the Word of God, from the book, Acts 15:7. The book says you need to repent of your sins, change your mind, and change your heart, as commanded by God, Acts 17:30-31. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 16:16, Acts 8:37. And as a final, culminating act of obedience, be baptized, submerged in water, for forgiveness of all your past sins.
Amen.
The Lord will then add you to his glorious church, Acts 2:47. All your past sins forgiven, and you are now born again, given a measure of God's Holy Spirit, and become a new spiritual creature in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:3-5. Now be warned. Be warned. We are all headed for judgment, and every one of us ought to get ready to meet God in peace. That old apostle John was found weeping because no man was found worthy to open the book, this book. No man, not on earth, not even in heaven. But one of the elders said to John, "Weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Calvary's hero, the exalted Lamb of God, death's conqueror, the true grave robber, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, everything I said after the root of David was my advent. I submit that. But you get the point. He has prevailed to open the book. Now, I don't know about you, but I want my name written in the book of life. Amen.
Amen.
There will be many names written in the book, those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, those who have went and chose the narrow way, those who indeed have climbed up the rough side of the mountain. Now, I'll be listening for my name, okay? So hopefully you'll be listening for yours. Through all the alphabet, the A's, the B's, the C's, until they get to the M's. Amen. I'll be waiting. My name's McIntosh. So I'll be waiting. Watching and listening to see my name written up there and praising the mighty name of Jesus, thanking God with the blood of Jesus, God done signed my name. That is why I say, on Jordan's stormy banks, I will stand, casting a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, bound for the promised land, and who will follow Jesus? Who will come with me as I willingly go to the God of heaven, the God of glory? His will be done. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I ask you to please continue to pray for me and my wife and for my family. Pray for one another. Pray for this church here at Perump. And pray for us at Victory Road as well, as we continue to pray for each and every one of you. Now, if there's any that has a prayer request that would like to be acknowledged before the church, let that request be known right now, as together we stand and together we sing.